Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day over here on a Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we got to talking about the news story. Well, we talked about the Florida waitress, or, you know, some might be called servers, who really went into quick thinking when she noticed a little boy sitting at her table with bruises and marks on his hands, and she noticed that he really wasn't eating, and she held up a sign behind his parents' back, asking, "Do you need help?" And he gently motioned yes. And she said, "Okay." She went and she called 911, and they came out to rescue this little boy and his four-year-old sister, only to find out that he had been suffering torture and abuse at the hands of a stepdad who was hanging him upside down on a door, as well as some other abusive behavior. And thank God for her movement, because now dad, stepdad, and mom, who knew that this was going on but did nothing. Well, now everybody is paying the piper just because she thought on her feet. Thank God for her. We also talked about the 12-year-old little boy who went to the gas station, stood online and waited politely his turn. And when he got to the clerk, he told him to enter the drawer and give him all the money, and pulled out a gun and stuck her up. And she asked, you know, "Hey, are you serious?" Because he was nice, cool, calm, and collected. And he fired a warning shot in the ceiling. "Yes, I am serious." Well, she hurried up and handed over that money. Well, a couple of minutes later, the little tyke was arrested, and the 36-year veteran of the police department said he had never seen someone rob a place at gunpoint and was so just calm, cool, and collected. And finally, we talked about this homeless gentleman. And his girlfriend were having an argument. The police called, and when they showed up, you know, they were detaining them, waiting for their background checks to come through and make sure they were cleared and have any warrants. And the homeless man asked, "Hey, you know, mind if I take a, you know, swim?" And he did. After they told him no, and he jumped in the lake and didn't make it. No, didn't make it at all. After yelling, "I'm drowning, I'm drowning, I'm drowning," just didn't seem to faze the cops none, because they had told him, "Hey, don't get in that water." And he didn't, and it cost him his life. So, you know, we turned that around to the Christian experience. You know, what are we doing as the waitress who thought on her feet? You know, what are we doing in this life? You know, we're moving at the speed of light when it comes to certain situations. Are we sitting back just twiddling our thumbs, or are we acting immediately when God says so, when God calls our names, when the situation comes up? Are we responding in the same manner as this waitress? Something to think about for you. Is that what you're doing? Or as soon as God says move, you move. Right? So, you know, something to think about. Oh, when it comes to this 12-year-old boy, we made a Christian analogy to that too. You know, you're calm, you're cool and collected. However, are you firing those warning shots when someone asks you? Are you serious? You know, are you doing what God has for you to do, or not doing what God has for you to do? I don't know. You know, we don't seem to be able to keep our heads very much as Christian individuals. I don't know. Well, we also talked about that disobedience. When we're told no, you can't, or no, don't, then we go ahead and do it anyway. And when we look up, we're the walking dead. We end up behind the eight ball. All because when God said no, don't, we did it anyway. And you know, you think about this gentleman who was yelling, "I'm drowning, I'm drowning, help me, help me, help me." And you know, they said, "Listen, we're waiting for a fire truck, you know, to come do this, because that's what they do. We're waiting for the boat to come, because that's what happens in this time of a crisis. You know, we're not trained to jump in the water after you and rescue you. We're going with protocol." Well, how many times has God broken protocol with us? Because we were yelling, "I'm drowning, I'm drowning, I'm drowning. I've fallen and I can't get up." How often does God step in and rescue us over and over and over again? And there are some times when God just got to look over and go, "Hey, I told you don't do it. And we got to fend for ourselves." So, you know, it's a lot to be said for our obedience and the things we do and the things we don't do. So, that's how we spend our Tuesday morning. It was a really good conversation, very good conversation. And if you didn't hear it, I advise you to go back and listen. Because the Zootime crew, they did a fantastic job making the connection between, you know, the news story and our Christian walk. Some church folk, they'll do it all the time. And they won't. Oh, okay. Well, today is Wild Wednesday. We are halfway through the work week. Halfway through the school week. Oh, we're coming toward the end. Oh, do you got what it takes to finish it? Well, hopefully so, because we got our girl Vivian coming on with her socially conscious segment. We got the Women of Worship who'll be on to discuss today's topic. And we're looking for the great closeout with our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlene. Okay. So go get that quick, healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell someone that it's due time and Pastor Jeff is on. And Make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Patients who are undergoing cataract surgery have different needs and different expectations and different levels of desire to be independent from eyeglasses. And we have different options for these patients. The premium distance package would include fine-tuning the lens power during surgery using wavefront aberrometry. It may include limbal relaxing incisions done by laser to treat astigmatism. It might include special lenses that correct astigmatism.
Well, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Wow Wednesday. Well, it's June, and we are giving you some information on our different awarenesses this month. And one of our awarenesses is cataract eye awareness months. And, you know, a lot of people are walking into, you know, issues with their eyes and cataract surgery and things like that. And we want to help keep you informed. So, you know, make sure you write down your little notes. You know, that's just one thing this month. I think they had like five or six things this month that they're focusing on. And we want to stay current with the time. Okay, so we're giving God thanks that he has brought us safely through this part of the week into Wednesday. And as we know, you know, it's a privilege to see the day, because these people here, you know, with all these shootings and all of the craziness that's going on, a lot of people aren't making it. A lot of people are not making it. So we're going to give God thanks that he thought of us and decided to keep us on this side of the grave. And we're going to say thank you, God. All right? Well, let's say good morning to our girlfriend, Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you, Vivian. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
That's good. What you got for us today?
Okay, today on Socially Conscious, we're going to take a look at these COVID numbers. Top five states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are California, still holding that number one spot with 104,473 cases. That is a decrease of over 800 cases since last week. Florida is number two with 71,683 cases. That is an increase of over 2,000 cases since last week. Texas is number three with 54,593 cases. Illinois is number four with 32,605 cases. That is a decrease of over 5,000 cases since last week. And New Jersey is number five with 29,049 cases. That is a decrease of over 3,000 cases since last week. So this week we've seen some decreases here and there. Florida is on the uptick as we all predicted. But all in all, I think this is a pretty good week for the numbers. And now, while I was looking for news this week, all I saw was headline after headline with gun violence, like gun violence erupts overnight in New York City, man 79 injured in Patterson in a triple shooting, man shot in the head in Queens recording studio, officer shot in West New York, and on it went. And like everyone, we're wondering what is being done about all this gun violence. So here are some of the things that are in works thus far with the government. They are coming up with a comprehensive package. This package has been in the works, and it is supposed to close loopholes and give law enforcement the tools they need to prevent easy access to guns and stop the sale of dangerous weapons to people who are 18 years old and younger. So first off, they're banning anyone under the age of 21 from buying or possessing a semi-automatic rifle. That's saying the semi-automatic rifle. They're also saying that people who want to buy a semi-automatic rifle, they need to first obtain a license, which was previously only required for handguns. The law will also restrict people from buying body armor, similar to what was used by the alleged shooter in Buffalo. They are also mandating that new guns will have to feature the ability to have a serial number on the shell casings. They're saying that with this new feature, the law enforcement can use the serial numbers on the casings to track the gun owners down. And I just wonder what our listeners and our due time crew have to say. Do you think that these new laws and restrictions are enough to stop all this gun violence that we've been seeing as of lately? Is it a start to something, or is it just a waste of time? And with all this gun violence and mass shootings going on across the nation, someone thought it would be funny to play a practical joke in a mall in the Bronx. Reports say that on Saturday at around 1:30 p.m. in the mall in Bay Plaza in the Bronx, panic and chaos broke out among thousands of mall goers, many of whom were with very young children. People took off running and ducking for cover while they tried to figure out whether or not they were in immediate danger. 911 calls were made of people saying they thought they heard gunshots in the mall. The police arrived fully armed and prepared for an active shooter. But when they got there, they found there was no shooter at all, but instead that someone had lit firecrackers in the food court. So I believe whoever did this knew exactly what they were doing. And most likely we'll find out that they found the person who did it because that person recorded themselves and put it on Facebook or Instagram or live streamed it and thought it was funny. This is definitely a sick and scary world. A couple of weeks ago, I told the story of the 14-year-old boy that raped a woman during a home invasion in front of the woman's child. Well, a quick update on that story is that they believe they have caught the third participant in the home invasion, and it was another 17-year-old boy. So there were two 17-year-old boys robbing the home while this 14-year-old boy was raping this woman. And while we're talking about these teens gone wild, we have another teenager, 19 years old, who has been charged with raping a woman at knife point inside a park in broad daylight. Reports say that Christopher Martinez, again 19 years old, held a 38-year-old victim at gunpoint at 8:30 in the morning, led her to St. Mary's Park where he raped her, took her credit card, and then went to buy himself breakfast at a local bodega. Again, this world is sick and scary. And if that isn't enough, we have a serial sneaker thief running around New York City. According to police, one suspect is targeting people in both Brooklyn and Queens, stealing single shoes directly off their feet. The first reported incident happened about 9 a.m. on January 24th in front of a Utica Avenue home. Police said this man followed a woman into her residence and stole her right shoe off her foot once he got inside. And then the last reported incident took place on May 24th at about 12:15. The same suspect approached a 24-year-old inside a Queens Boulevard store in Regal Park and stole their left shoe. Police don't know the motive yet and have not made any arrests as of yet. There is videos and pictures going on. Police are asking if anyone knows anything about this man and this situation to, of course, call police. I just think that this is just so silly. Like, what are you getting from stealing one shoe off of somebody's feet? This man has nothing better to do with his time but to follow people into their home and steal their shoes off their feet. I don't understand what's going on. And now for our wild story of the week. A mother wants to know if she is a a-hole. She says she didn't go to her daughter's graduation because the daughter chose the father over her. So I'm going to try to, give you the story in bits and pieces, not try to make it too long. So basically, the mother and father were married for the first 12 years of the girl's life, and they're saying that the girl was a daddy's girl. But when the father remarried, everything changed. The mom says he barely called her and just abandoned her for his new family. This was obviously hard for her, and she rebelled a lot. But she went to therapy and seemed to be getting better. Excuse me. The mother said her daughter has not seen her father physically since she was 12, so since the divorce. And that he speaks to her at least, at most, 3 times a year at minimum. So when he calls, the girl believes that he is now back in her life for good. She gets all excited, but then he ghosts her for the remainder of the year. The daughter invited her father to her graduation, and apparently the father said he would only come if the mother wasn't there because they don't get along. So the daughter goes to the mother and tells the mother that she can't come to her graduation because she wants her father to be there. She tells the mother, I'm sorry that, you know, you're feeling hurt. The mother begs her to change her decision. The daughter refuses. She's like, you've been there for me. You've got to experience all these great things. I want my dad to be able to experience this. So the mother was hurt. You know, the mother's sister makes plans with her on the daughter's graduation day so that she's not home depressed and sad. And the mother agrees to go out with her sister. So now on the day of the graduation ceremony, the father ghosts her. He's not picking up. He's not calling. He doesn't, you know, he's not going to show up. So now the daughter goes back to the mother and say, hey, mom, dad's not going to be there. Now you can come. The mother says, nope, I'm sorry. I already have plans. Now the daughter is upset. Oh, it's my graduation. How could you not be there? Blah, blah, blah. Mom responds, I already have plans, and I'm going to go along with my plans. So the daughter goes to her graduation all alone. Parents of the friends of her mom tells her, you know, the daughter was so depressed. She was sad throughout the whole ceremony. And the mom now feels bad, and she wants to know who was wrong in the situation. So I thought that this would be a very interesting conversation with the Due Time crew and even our listeners. Who do you think was wrong in the situation, mom or daughter? But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen.
Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. Okay, I just had to write me a little note. All right, so it looks like your COVID numbers are down. You didn't tell us regarding Texas if they went up or down.
I lost my old socially conscious because I had to get an iPad.
Okay.
So I can't tell you if those numbers went up or down.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. So I want to make sure, because, you know, I want to talk to my ladies. So the gun violence proposal, they want to close the loopholes to prevent 18-year-olds from purchasing any semi-automatic rifles or purchase guns, period.
It didn't say purchase guns, period. It specified semi-automatic rifles.
Okay. All right. Now, also, they are proposing that no one under 21 can buy semi-automatic rifles, correct?
Or possess them.
Oh, okay. And we got they have to have a license first. Unlike now, you don't have to have anything, just the money to buy and an ID. They have no one can buy body armor. And they have no guns. I mean, all the guns have to have serial numbers on the casings, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. So I want to ask you, you know, your own question. Do you think these things are going to help us with our fight against gun violence?
I'm kind of in the middle. I feel like it might be a start, and it's great that they're having this conversation. But I don't think that it's enough because, I mean, you have these laws and regulations on handguns and, you know, regular guns, quote unquote, and people still find a way to get them. They have these things called ghost guns or something like that, where there's no serial number on the gun, so you can't find out who the gun belongs to. And I just feel like if people really wanted to, they're going to find a way. Yeah, you've made it harder, but even just making it available at all. Semi-automatic rifles are not necessary for, like, hunting. Like, you know, like you guys have said, these guns are military-grade guns. Why make them available at all? I don't understand it.
Okay. So because you just walked into one of my questions, you know, what do you think should be added? So your thing is no semi-rifles at all to the average person, right?
Right. If you're not in the military or have some type of job where you might need that type of gun, it should not be made available to the public at all. If you're 21 or older or younger, it should not be made available at all.
All right. All righty. Let me see if I want to talk about anything else here. Okay. Well, what's your thought on the mom? You know, so not only we got the story, and this was a good one. What do you think? Because it actually walks us right into my topic for today. What do you think? Who do you think was wrong, mom or daughter?
I think, I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle again. I feel like the mom was being a little bit petty because the daughter, you know, disinvited her. But the daughter was kind of wrong too. I mean, I get it. As a girl with, you know, daddy issues, you know, you hopeful that your daddy would do the right thing and be there for you. And unfortunately, he disappointed her yet again. But I get, you know, that she just really wanted her dad back in her life, her growing up as a daddy's girl. But it was wrong for her to you know, tell her mom that she couldn't be there. Yeah, you know, you were there for a kindergarten graduation and middle school graduation, but the high school graduation is bigger So I feel like the daughter was wrong, but the mom was just being a little petty. If you felt bad at the end, I feel like you were being a little petty and you could have made a different decision. So I'm kind of stuck in the middle.
Okay. I'm looking for the bigger wrong. I'm looking for the bigger wrong. Because we can, I'm going to press you on this, and I'm going to press everybody on this, because it's easy to see what each person did. Who was the bigger wrong?
I'm going to say the daughter.
Okay. All right, Shantice, I want you to take a tally. Vivian started off saying that mom had the bigger wrong. That's the only thing I want to hear. I want to hear at the end of the day, everybody can hear all that, because we know. We all know the scenario. Yeah, you know, you want your dad there, your daddy's girl, and blah, blah, blah. We know that mom, you know, I'm going to be honest. As a mother, that wasn't a little petty. That wasn't a little petty. It was a big petty. And I'll give my thing at the end, but it wasn't a little petty. It was big petty, if you will. And I want to hear where you stand at the end of the day, because we can all clearly see who was, you know, the wrong on each side of the fence. But I would like to hear from all of, you know, from all of you. If you're texting in, 347-285-7777. Please give us who had the bigger wrong, and I'm going to press my due time, ladies. Who had the bigger wrong? Thank you so much, Vivian. You gave it to us today, big time. And keep doing what you do, girl. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Have a nice day. All righty. This is a juicy one. This is a juicy one. Oh, let me say good morning to my due time ladies. Let's say good morning to Elder Natisha. Good morning, Elder Natisha.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hanging in there. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay. Glad to have you with us. And we pray that you are healing from last week's illness. We got some stuff to talk about. So we've been talking about this gun violence thing. And, I'm going to talk out some stuff today. We've been talking about this gun violence thing and how we feel, you know, they should, it's not enough. You were one who really voiced this at one point. You know, so now they're making some changes, some adjustments. So one, they're going to close the loopholes to prevent 18-year-olds from possessing automatic rifles. They're looking to close the door on anyone under 21 who's able to buy a semi-automatic rifle or possess one. Number three, they're mandating that you have to have a license first before you're able to purchase. And number four, they're saying that no one will be able to buy body armor. And five, they have new guns must have serial numbers on the casings so that they can trace the owners of these said casings. Do you think that that's good enough?
I think that is... All of that is geared toward the mass shootings that we've experienced. It does not solve the issue of gun violence within urban communities that impact black and brown people. So all of the language used in what was stated, semi-automatic rifles, that is not what is used in all of these shootings that we're hearing about in our local communities. The semi-automatic weapons have been utilized in the mass shootings. Body armor has not been utilized in the everyday occurrences that we are experiencing in our local communities. That has been used in the mass shooting. So we are addressing one part of the problem. Do I think that's a start? I do think it's a start. When you are trying to obtain a weapon, a gun, from a legal standpoint, licensing was always necessary. You always had to take a class in order to get the license, in order to be able to purchase a gun when you're doing it legally. The war is on illegal gun trafficking in our local communities. So I think that, yeah, it's a start to eliminate the mass shooting that we are seeing an uptick. We have had a rise in mass shooting, but I don't think that it does anything for the problem we face in urban communities with illegal gun trafficking.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Like you said, this only points in one direction. This will not, if you push all these into laws, that ain't addressing the three quarters of the crime. The crime
right.
that is being committed. Right. With 100%. If it's a war against
right.
gun violence, then put the laws out there. I agree with you 100%. They're missing quite a bit. What would you say should be added? Like if they said, okay, you know, give us one thing against gun violence that we could put into law, what would be that thing?
I think we would have to, and here's the catch 22, right? Because I think we've seen instances where this was done, but it was done in a way that impacted our black men, that landed our black and brown men in prison with tougher laws that incarcerated them for what was considered smaller crimes, and they got extensive amount of times, right? When we put into law the crackdown on crack, because we wanted to try to stop the crack epidemic destroying communities and destroying families, we put into law these hefty laws and penalties that only impacted our people and caused us to be the main ones incarcerated. So part of me wants to say, if we looked at the penalty associated with being found with a gun, right? Like, I think there has to be something that targets that illegal gun trafficking. Where are the guns coming from? And crack down on that. The smugglers who are, you know, who are bringing the guns in. The smugglers who are pumping guns into our communities where our young people are able to get their hands on these guns and then use them inappropriately and recklessly. So I think if we can get to the source of gun smuggling and where that's coming from, that will at least take care of that problem. I do think this is a two-tier problem, because we have seen an uptick in mass shootings where all of those laws are aiming. But I also think there has to be then something done on for handguns. All of the language of semi-automatic rifles, but what about handguns, 22s, Glocks, right? What about Smith & Wessons, like all of the regulars of handguns? So I think we have to start at how guns are getting into our communities. How are our young people getting their hands on these guns? And maybe we can start there and put some hefty penalties for the gun smugglers.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense, because it's almost like the drugs, you know. I remember Nino Brown saying, you know, you know, it's above us. It's above us. And if you don't catch what's coming up here, you know, then This stuff will continue to happen, even if you're punishing. It's almost like punishing the child and not the parent. You know, the child is the parent. What helps the child commit all the crimes, breaks all the laws, but you never affect the parent. So I think I agree. If you start doing the parent and child thing, then you might be able to get to the bottom of some of this stuff here. So we've got the issue of the 19-year-old who raped the woman in broad daylight with the knife. We've got the sneaker thief who's walking around stealing people's worn shoes. And we've got the Vivian's recap and additional information on the fact that they found a 17-year-old with the gun. I'm sorry, who had also participated in that 14-year-old rape that took place. Which one do you want to tackle? Or you got the joke in the Bay Plaza Mall. Which one do you want to talk about today?
Oh, my God. I mean, they all, all of them are pretty much, I feel like, you know, in the same category, again, with these young people. I guess, just young people doing stupid stuff. we can focus on the... I guess we can go to Bay Plaza Mall because I know it also happened simultaneously at Kings County Mall in Queens, I believe
Brooklyn.
It is. Queens or Brooklyn? Brooklyn. Yeah. So I know it happened simultaneously there as well. And so here was what was interesting about that is that I was at a gospel concert, hosting a gospel concert, literally down the block from Bay Plaza Mall.
Wow.
And it was so interesting because there was one point of my hosting, I just went off. And when I say I went off, just went off with, like, really just coming hard against the spirit of fear and gun violence and really just coming against that in the atmosphere, and did not know that down the block at that time there was this type of foolery, you know, going on. I think it speaks to the atmosphere of fear that. Because even when my cousin works at the mall, and my daughter, how I found out about it was my daughter texted me and said, "Mom, Erica is at the mall and they're shooting." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, what?" Like, I'm like, "We here at the gospel concert. I just finished praying and coming against this. Like, this is crazy right now." And then found out later on that it was really, you know, just the firecrackers or whatever the case may be. But my cousin she didn't know this. And so her post was, "I'm hiding in the bathroom at my job. I'm afraid for my life." You know, and
wow.
Then my cousins, my older cousins, they were all getting on the line, and they were just like, you know, "Please, oh my God, I can't lose my sister." Like, it was so much panic.
Wow. Wow.
And I just, that how the enemy, and I could have imagined, this girl was in the bathroom of her job in Foot Locker hiding.
Wow.
Hiding in the stalls on the floor.
Wow.
There is a state of panic and fear that is associated with everything that is going on. And we've got to hold to some degree our media. I understand that it's the media's job to report the news, but to some degree, we have got to start looking at what, because for no, you could have, that whoever the young person was, in their ignorance, thinking that this is a joke, although you felt like you weren't causing harm, you were. You were.
Right.
If people would have got it trampled, people running, we've heard of stories where crowded places, everyone starts trying to rush to the exit at the same time, and people get trampled, kids get killed and murdered by trampling.
Right.
There is fear and panic in the air as a result of gun violence, and people are manipulating. It is evil. It is evil. And so, yeah, reckless. And we've got to do a better job with providing, I don't know what our young people need, but there's some type of outlets that are needed for our young people, programs. We've got to start mentoring and pulling our young people off the street. They need activities because that was just dumb. Why are you in the mall doing that?
Right. Absolutely. At such a sensitive time. And that's what is not making sense to me either. You know, we did a story after the, you know, we've been doing stories since the Uvalde shooting. And that's been my question. Mm-hmm. Why at this time would you do something, whether you're posing or whether you're sending out a fake text or an email? Or why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Are you making fun? Are you poking at? You know, these lives were taken. This is not a time for you to be making jokes. And there's nothing funny or humorous or, you know, or amusing about these things. So you're absolutely right. I want to come back to that prayer issue, Elder and I teach it. I'll be back because it's something that I said the other day that you kind of walked into. But thank you so much for joining us this morning. Happy to have you back with us. And we are going to say good morning to our Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. Good morning to you, our ladies, and our listeners. How are you this morning?
Well, thank you. I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good, good, good. So we're going to start talking. We're all going to talk about this gun violence issue. And, you know, we've been, you know, talking and complaining that they're not doing enough. And now we've heard this list of proposals that they are going to, you know, do to address the gun violence issue. What's your thought? Is this enough? Is this appropriate? What comes to your mind?
I always think that, you know, something should be done a long time ago, but I always feel like you're not really addressing the avenues for how these things transpire. You know, one of the things that I look at is when we're flying on a plane, so there are measures. You go through the scanning, you ensure that the bag is safe and its articles, you know, as well as yourself. So you go through a big, you know, procedure just to get on the plane. You know, you're looking at Amtrak, you're looking at Greyhound, you're looking at all of the other different buses, especially in New York. There's so many different bus systems until it makes me shake my head. There are no preventative measures. You grab your bag, you weigh it, it goes where it's supposed to go, you know. And same thing with Amtrak. You know, you're wondering how in the world things are coming in. They're coming in through regular trains, regular buses, you know, and people pick up bags. Nobody's looking at, you know, whose bag goes where. There's not a checking system. There's nothing to ensure that, you know, that particular bag is not filled with guns or whatever type of thing. Things are coming in regular ways, you know, and the way that I see it, you're only concerned about certain areas. When it's us killing us, you're fine with that. However, when somebody goes into a school, you know, with body armor, you're only concerned about that. My thing is, if you're going to end it all, you know, and I keep saying, you know, you want to keep that area safe. You know, NRA wants to keep protecting themselves. So they only shut this avenue off. And as long as it's just in this field, we're fine, you know, because they still want access that way. And it's harmful. It's hurting. You know, we've seen plenty of black lives that are ended because, you know, you just decided, oh, well, I'm going to go into a church or I'm going to go into a venue and live. Nothing because we've done anything to you, just I want to see what it's like to end a black life. And I'm tired. I am so tired of hearing it. It's not like it's the first time. It's not like it's the second time. It keeps happening over and over again.
Okay, okay. So if you had one law to pass when it comes to this gun violence, what would be your one law that you would want to see them put into place?
I I would want to minimize some of this ruling and authority that the NRA has. You know, I want to, you know, if when it comes to these things, because it's like Elder Nitesha said, you know, body armor, you know, those high powered rifles. You don't need that for your everyday, you know, your killing of an ox or sheep or, you know, rabbit, you know, squirrels. You don't need a high rifle. You know, you just, you know, shoot and that's it. Definitely, you know, minimize that you can't get access to it. If you've got it, that's one thing. But to make it, you know, unless you've got a job that requires that, you're in the military, you know, police authority, then you can't get access to it. That's it. It's done.
Okay. Oh, you're on board with everybody else. All right. Let's talk about some of our other news. We've got they finally caught up with the third party of this 14-year-old rape after the break-in. And they only were supposed to be breaking into the person's house. We've got the 19-year-old rape with the knife, and we got the sneaker thief. What do you want to talk about this morning?
I'm going to go a little bit more lighthearted by using by talking about the foot fetish person, the sneaker foot. You're going to take one shoe, you know, and the reason why I'm targeting that area is because a lot of people think, okay, that's senseless. But for somebody who has a foot fetish, it's one of those things. You know, I got a trophy. You know, I remember one particular time a while back, I was sitting in a mall and I was reading a book and I was just kind of relaxing, not really focusing on where I was. I had my foot under me. So my shoe was down on the floor and I had my foot in the seat under me. And this gentleman just walked in out of the blue and swiped my shoe. You know, and, you know, something was wrong with him. He was mentally disturbed, and he was with a group of people. And I didn't even recognize at the time, because I was reading my book and I was really engrossed in the book, that he had taken my shoe. And I looked down, and I'm like, where's my... And the lady, you know, she told him to come back and give me the shoe and apologize. And then she explained to me, you know, that he does that all the time. You know, he's in the facilities that he's in. And, you know, for him, that is a sexual nature, and it's something that, you know, they've been trying to curb, but as you can see as they go out, that, you know, it's something, you know, if he can get access to a shoe, he's going to get it, you know, and this is a sad thing, because you actually ask somebody for the shoe or swipe the shoe. I don't know how that's being done. However, you know, we think that it's funny, but for that individual, it's a sexual nature that, you know, they can't control, and they got to have it, you know, and I, my heart just goes out to the individual who is walking home with one shoe, you know. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it, you know. That's as far as I can go with that one.
Yes, it's not a lot you can say, but I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head for a lot of people with this shoe issue. You know, when I remember looking at a survey one time, and they talked about, you know, the fetishes that men have. And that was one of the things that came up, you know, that how they like to, you know, it's something about a woman's shoe or a woman's foot, you know, is it really does something to them. And, you know, I can't, you know, like you said, you know, just a trophy piece for somebody else, you know. It doesn't have to be necessarily something sexual, but just, you know, when you look at TV and movies and documentaries, you really see why people come up with some of these things and how these illnesses come up in people's lives. And it could be for something so, you know, small in our mind, but yet it has grown, like you said, to something massive in someone else's mind. So, you know, we just hope they catch this person, because it has to be, like you said, humiliating to have to go home with one shoe And if this is something of a sexual nature, hopefully, you know, this is something that can be addressed. This won't be just this stealing of this shoe and moving on because it's nothing, quote unquote, big, and we got bigger fish to fry. So I agree with you. You know, this is something that we need to think about. So thank you for joining us this morning. We'll be back to continue our conversation. I don't know what's going to happen with our Pastor Kim. You know, she's got a new work assignment, and it starts much earlier. And this is with such a heavy heart, I have to make this announcement. And it's an increase and a blessing for her, but we don't get to have our Pastor Kim on. And so we don't know what's going to quite happen with that, but we definitely want to send her a shout-out. We miss her. We love her. And we just give God thanks because there's always a ram in the bush. Let's say good morning to Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. This morning we're talking about this gun violence issue, and you hear all the things that they are proposing that will help to increase the protection of the people and decrease the number of mass shootings. Because I agree with the ladies, this is about mass shootings. What's your thought regarding these proposed new rules?
I think it's being tiptoed around. Like, there's way too much going on right now for there to be stages as to what to do. It needs to be a straight, we're making huge leaps to end all of the unnecessary violence that's taking place. That's what I'm hearing. And like, okay. So we're going to do this and they're going to do that, but I'm not hearing the hard-hitting stuff. Like, okay, so you're putting serial numbers on the guns and stuff, okay, but like it was already said, how are you implementing that in the city, you know, like where the everyday crime is happening? Or are you only implementing that in one area, or how aggressive is it? I'm not really hearing that big smack.
Okay. Thank you. If you had one law to put into place, what would that be?
You want to go hunting, everyone needs an escort now. So you want to hunt to kill whatever animal. Now, what are you hunting for? Are you hunting so you can now cut it up and sell it to the supermarket so we can buy it? I don't know. But you want to hunt, everybody needs an escort. You go and you rent your gun, and you need SWAT escort to go with you to the forest, the woods, wherever you go, and you got an hour to hunt, and they escort you back to the gun store, and you take everything back there, and that's it. And you're only allowed to do that once a year. I don't know. I've never done any research on why you hunt. But the only thing that came to mind for me is, well, why are you hunting? Like, it should not be a sport, because obviously we see how the sport has been taken. And so unless you are someone who is hunting down the, and I don't think you hunt no cows, but unless you're hunting cows or something so you can sell the beef to the supermarket so people can buy it and eat it, then there's going to be for you to do it. But if that's what you're doing, then you need police and SWAT escort, and that's it. And you get your voucher for once a year, and that's it. Because there's just way too much people slipping through the cracks of these quote-unquote regulations and rules and stuff that they're putting into place. So that's what I would implement.
Okay. So it's almost like a renting of the gun for the purpose of the quote-unquote sport of hunting, and you have to return the gun. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. It's almost like if you don't do that, then everybody kind of pays for
you know, the senseless crime of other people. And I agree, you know, now we just got to change the laws. They don't seem to have that problem with anything else. If we got to eat what everybody else is doing, then we got to eat what everybody else is doing, and oh, well, you'll be all right. So I don't really think that's a bad idea. You got to rent, you know, your hunting equipment. You're not allowed to own it anymore. And, you know, now you just go about your sport in a different manner. Okay.
But it shouldn't be a sport, which means it might get cut out altogether. Because this is no longer, I mean, I don't know if you're wild with a sport, but it's no longer a quote-unquote fun thing anymore because look at what's happening. So now it's almost like to say that this is a sport, you're still promoting that it's okay to just randomly wake up and say, I want to shoot a gun today. No, we can't put that out there anymore.
All righty. Okay. Thank you. Well, you know, what do you have to say about, you know, this, I'm going to give you this one, this 19-year-old with the knife in broad daylight, and then, you know, he rapes the woman, and then he goes and has breakfast at the corner bodega with the woman's credit card. Just what you're doing. I mean, it's just quite as simple as that.
Well, already you show that there's some mental issues. Not that you're mentally sick in that aspect, but something mentally wrong with you. You took my credit card to go to a corner store. Like, if I'm going to steal your credit card, I'm going to go. You need to go to a diner.
I'm going to go to a diner.
Just show how small-minded you are. But it just really shows how there's just no thought put into this because people are just doing what comes to mind. People are just doing, you know, before there was always crime and stuff where people would wait until it's dark. No one could see them or it would be hard to detect that it was them. And, you know, if I see your credit card, I'm not going to see your credit card on this corner and then use it at the next corner. You know, I'm going to be a little strategic and at least try to use it in another state. No, ain't nobody do it. I mean, steal your card in the store and use it in the same store. Like, everybody's just doing what's coming to their mind at that second. And it's very scary. It's very scary to know that you think of this at 1 o'clock and at 1:01, you're just doing it because you just don't care. You're just doing what's on your mind to do. That is scary.
Absolutely. And I think a person like that, you know, is worse than a person who actually sat down and planned this crime.
Right.
And who's talking about, you know, I got to follow this plan, opposed to something like you, someone who, like you said, casually just doing stuff, because they are the ones who are really going to do something stupid. And, you know, that is something to think about, you know, because most times that's how it goes down. The ones that wing it always cause the problems.
Well, I got a question.
They're the bishop. What'd you say?
I said that's how you always get the bishop of the group. Everybody want to be bishop.
Absolutely. You know, yesterday, ladies, I don't have an opportunity to pull up people's lives. When we so-and-so went live, so-and-so went live. Because I'm just not on my phone or my iPad, you know. If I'm on my iPad, I'm doing something. I'm not really, you know, having the ability to just kind of browse around. So yesterday I was doing something and someone's live popped up. It was one of the ladies to who I had done a segment with, praying for my husband. And every once in a while, if I see somebody post something, like I said, I don't scroll, but I always hit you up. If you come up on the top of the news feed, I'll see it, I'll hit you up. And I remember, you know, liking this particular woman of God, as they call. And I was like, okay, let me see what she's doing, you know, while I write. So when I opened it up, I was a little glum because I thought that you know, immediately my mind went to ministry. You know, she was, you know, doing something. She was there to say something or whatever. And I didn't think about, oh, you know, she could be posting live of a graduation or something like that. But anyway, it opened up to some greenery, and it panned the area, panned a little, must be like a tent in the backyard. And there came out a little boy who must have been about 7, and I saw something dangling from his shoulder. And I was like, well, what is that? And he turns and faces the camera, and he didn't know she was there. And he was marching. He was playing this air trumpet, I suppose. And he turns and he's like, "Oh, you're there." And he was like, "Well, what are you doing?" or whatever. And she said, "Oh, I was just taping you to see what you were doing." And when I looked on the side, he had from his shoulder a rifle, a play rifle. And the big part of the handle was brown. We've seen it. We've all seen it. That's how I was able to detect what it was so quickly. I'm like, is that a rifle? I immediately just turned it off. I was like, because what I'm about to say to her, we may not ever talk again. Because I could not imagine that this was fine. Now, the reason why, you know, she didn't know he was going to have the rifle in the video. No! She knew he had it. She knew he had it. Ain't nowhere in the world. You got this big old thing, and he was about to, like, pick it up from his side. And it was so big. And I was like, oh, my God, are you serious? I just turned it off. I'm going to start with you, Lady Tamika. Should we still buy these play guns? This was not even a handgun. My God, my God, my God. It wasn't even a handgun, girl. It was a rifle. And then in the Christian community, what are we missing? Help me out. Let me know what you're thinking, Lady Tamika.
Yeah, in my rearing, we didn't even have access to toy guns. You know, there wasn't something that was allowed in my house. You could play with this, and you could play with boy trucks, and, you know, we're talking about boys now, so you could play with boys' trucks, and, you know, there are other things that you could, you know, I had my nephew, he loved little animals, but the whole idea of having a gun, you know, even something that was the little small trigger, even the water guns, we didn't allow them, because my thing is, you know, you're looking at TV and you fantasize about what that looks like, you know, but in actuality, that's a life, you know, and so we didn't even allow those in our homes. And I really honestly don't think that there's a necessity to have access to anything like that in your home.
Okay. Shanti, what's your thought?
It's all fun and games until the rifle is pointed at you. I don't even understand how. I'm trying to envision the typical graduation ceremony, right? And especially if it's high school. Over half the parents are there crying because of everything their kid done put them through high school, and now they get to see their child walk across the aisle. Like, it was life or death as far as them going to school. You're actually going to school, and you actually pass the classes to make it to graduation. And now you got, even before all of this craziness with this random shooting at graduation, now, top it off with all of the random shootings that have been taking place. And you would find it funny and amusing as a child to have this on your shoulder. And as a parent, you're recording this, and we didn't get to see you drop the phone and run up on the stage and snap your child's neck in the middle of the ceremony.
It wasn't at the graduation. What I said was, I thought that maybe it was a graduation or something because it was in the middle of the day, or, you know, toward the afternoon. But it was in the backyard. This little boy was playing in the backyard. and he walked out like he was marching, like playing a trumpet. And when he turned to face her is when I saw the thing dangling from his shoulder, but I didn't know what it was. It was just like you could just see because it was on the opposite side of him. When he turned is when I was like, is that a rifle on his arm? And that's when she said to him, oh, I was just videotaping you, you know, just watching what you're doing. And he went to take it from his side to hold it up. And I just closed it down.
Oh, so she's crazier because now had he pointed it at you and it was real, then there's no witnesses outside of you recording it. But yet, no, it's you, especially in the Christian community. So what you're showing is that outside of you being a mother and a Christian mother, there is no correcting that you're doing, especially in the height of everything that's going on. Like nothing, no, there should be no water. You should even have a slingshot. And no one even owns slingshots anymore. But you should even have a slingshot, especially because of everything that is happening now. And for you to not only record this, but to post it, my question is now, what kind of feedback were you anticipating on getting? Because somebody's going to say something to you. And see, people like that, they post stuff like that, and something says to them, and now they all out of sorts. Oh, what is it, man? Like somebody is going to say something to you, or don't be surprised when your child does something, and you already show the world that he's capable of doing something because you just posted it, and it just makes it even worse that you're a part of the Christian community. So it's like, what's the difference between us and everyone else that God is now sending us to correct in a godly manner?
Okay, I'm going to, thank you, Shanti. I'm going to, I pulled up this feed. I pulled it up, and I'm looking at the comments because as you were talking, I was wondering, what did the others say? Because when I pulled it up, it was only three people of three viewers. So somebody says hello, another person says hello, another person says, he said, you put that on Facebook. And she said, right, I was sneaking up on him. And then somebody else says, that bird ain't hurt nobody. So I guess he was pretending to be hunting. And so somebody says, see, so-and-so should have took him hunting. And somebody else says, this is hilarious. So what it appears as though, I'm going to look at it. What appears as though, because he's pointing, like he saw a bird, and he must be trying to kind of like shoot the bird, like he's hunting for the bird. And that's when the people said that bird ain't hurt nobody, and somebody said you should have taken him hunting. So that's the interesting part, because we just got finished talking about the hunting thing, and now somebody said you should have taken him hunting. Elder and Aitisha, should we be taking him hunting to get him this ability to shoot off this rifle?
No, we shouldn't. And this is where, you know, we continue to have these conversations around parenting. Because in this environment, even if we thought, right, dolls were associated with girls and little toy guns and trucks and stuff like that to play cops and robbers and to play shoot 'em up, bang, bang, to play hunting. Like, that may have been something that was innocent, right, back in the day. And you have parents that want to still try to claim that and say, my child should have a right. The Bible says that there are things that are lawful but not expedient. Mm-hmm. Is that wise in this environment?
Absolutely.
Is that wisdom
absolutely.
In this environment, it is no longer something to play with. We must teach our children the value, the sanctity of human life. We have to teach them the danger of these weapons. We have to teach them so that, because, well, here's what we don't know about this young man. We don't know his mental stability yet.
Right.
We don't know
right.
if exposing him to this weapon.
Right.
Now, he gets upset. He gets bullied. He's acquainted with this rifle
right.
that he has used as a toy, but understands that it can cause harm and hurt. And so then you're rearing up a little, and then the mother want to sit there and say, I never saw it coming.
Right, right, right.
But you didn't right. help. You put the gun in his hands and allowed him to play with it as opposed to teaching him that this is not anything to play with. That's
right.
the lesson for today. The lesson for today's environment is that is nothing to play with. No longer is that
Absolutely.
An innocent toy that we can have.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's why when I saw he was like ready to take, I didn't want to hear what she had to say. Because my thing was, if we ever had the toys like this in the house, all of those are done deal. It's going in the garbage.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to tell me that you didn't, like I said, you didn't know he had it. Whatever. Well, when I went back to look just now, and he had taken it off his shoulder, he had put it on the ground. He's pointing up in the air, and like I said, I guess this was the conversation because these were the comments. So clearly you knew he had this gun. You knew he had this rifle. And again, even if it's for the quote-unquote sport, I ask the same question. Are we really doing this now? Really? Now, y'all? We're really doing this now? And my kids, what comes with the sensibility as a Christian person? We're supposed to have a different level of discernment. We're supposed to have a different level of knowledge. We're supposed to have a different level of wisdom and understanding. Well, where was that? That's why I said, you know what? I'm not saying anything because there was no way to say anything nice. It wouldn't have been none of them comments, I'll tell you that much. Because it would have been it was close to, okay, so now when he's pointing it at a person, is that going to be fine? So,
right.
you know, we have to be so careful with what we allow. We shouldn't even let them play these video games and stuff anymore. Long ago have been said that, you know, hey, you know, that child who shot up the school had a thing for the video game. That was shooting video game. So, you know, We can't blame certain things, but listen, the association, as you ladies have said, is all you need. Is the familiarity,
right.
as you ladies have said,
yep.
is all you need. You know, we look at the Uvalde, and that's what Grandpa said, you know. Oh, I didn't even know he knew how to shoot a gun. Well, was he playing a game? Because if he was playing a game, he knew how to shoot a gun. I'm sorry. He didn't need the literal gun in his hand to shoot a gun. Well, we look at TV. They're showing how the people didn't put the thing together and how they didn't snap the thing back. And, you know, listen, it just ain't hard to pick up. Now, and we may not be so savvy, but these kids pick up every little thing. So
That's right.
Was just amazing to me. There's two more things. We're not going to talk about that topic because thanks to Vivian, we got something else to talk about. Let's talk about this mom and daughter thing. Oh, wow. Story. Let me get some water, ladies. Excuse me. So, daughter was always a daddy's girl. And, you know, dad ended up leaving and, you know, that separated them. And now she wants dad back if he has, you know, promised to come. And he's always ghosted her. So now we come to the graduation, and he says, listen, I can only come if your mom doesn't show up. And she goes to the mom, I'm sorry, you know, I have to pick two. Between the two, I'm picking dad because I really want him to come. You can't come. And mom makes other plans, you know, to you know, ease her broken heart. And dad goes home.
who's laughing? He's her broken heart. It was the ease her broken heart for me.
Yeah. I'm just putting it light. You know, to ease her little broken heart. And, you know, now the daughter's texting. Daughter's calling. Ma, guess what? Dad didn't show up.
you know, you could come now. And mom says, y'all gonna have that party without me because I got other things to do. And now, you know, everybody's saying that mom is wrong. Mom, as Vivian put it, was a little petty. And, you know, everybody's pointing at mom. So I'm interested in hearing from you ladies, you know, who was the bigger wrong? You know, because we can easily see how, you know, East Side could be wrong. But who was the bigger wrong? And I want to start with you, Shantice.
I believe the bigger wrong was the mother. And I say that because, like Vivian said, as someone who has had daddy issues up until 3 months ago, get real twisted, and even when it's like, oh, I hate you, you still have that little bit of hope that your dad is going to wake up and say, you know what, daughter, I love you. I'm going to do right by you. I'm going to support you. And even though the daughter was dead wrong for dissing the parent who has always shown the responsibility and the loyalty, as the parent, first of all, as a parent, you couldn't tell me I wasn't coming. But as a parent, you know, your job is to show how to handle and how to deal with situations. So I don't feel like the mother shouldn't have been hurt, whether she chose to say, I'm going to go whether you want me to or not. But just the fact of the daughter saying, whether she said it nicely or whether she said it rudely, okay, mom, can you please now come because dad is coming. You know, as the mother, you're supposed to show, and especially if you're a Christian mother, the way you're supposed to handle this. So now dad's place, which I'm pretty sure the mother already had in her mind, will watch so-and-so be himself and, you know, do something stupid, even if she didn't think he wouldn't show up, but him do something stupid. And now he just broke your daughter's heart again. Are you really going to now act like y'all were BFFs and like she chose another friend over you? And say, oh, well, no, because now we got girls' night out. I'm not going to your graduation. I feel like that was the prime opportunity for you to show her, even though you dissed me and I should treat you like somebody in the street, I'm going to show you how you're supposed to handle a situation like this. I'm supposed to show you what forgiveness really is. I'm supposed to show you that even when you're hurt, because now what you're showing is how she's supposed to be treating her father since he dissed her. So now if at any point God decides to turn your father's heart around, and if he decides to give God that room to turn his heart around. Who? Hello?
Sam?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. If he decides to turn God's heart around, and if the father decides to allow God to do that work in him, you're showing her that you should still say, no, I'm good off of you. I'm still going to do what I want to do based on how I feel. So that's why I feel like the mother was the bigger role. She didn't handle it properly.
Okay. Thank you. Elder Natisha, who was the bigger role and why?
My vote is for the mother. That's not an option. There's no option here as to whether or not I'm attending my daughter's graduation. That's not an option for neither you or your father. Neither one of you have that option. I've been here. I put in the work. I'm going to stand here and see it all the way through. You're not going to X me out of, you know, the celebration of the hard work that we went through. Where was he when I had to make sure that you did your homework? Where was he when I had to make sure that you were getting up for school every day? Who was the school calling? The school was calling me when you was cutting class. Yeah, there's no option here. Both of y'all are crazy if you think I'm not coming. Like, point blank, period. It's not even up for discussion. So in my opinion, the mom from the onset, the fact that she allowed someone else to make that decision for her, puts her in the wrong. And then I think, right, I'm not going to get into whether she was wrong for actually deciding not to show up, because I think that hurt people, right? And, you know, what, she's human. Her being hurt, her being frustrated, her being petty, all of that, that comes to mind. These kids is no joke how they can scar you and hurt you to the core. When you make a decision to say to me that I can't come and I've been here and you're going to choose your father, that's hurtful. That is extremely hurtful. And then you want to call me on the back end and say, oh, he's not coming. Come on. No. Wait a minute. You don't just pick me up and put me down. I'm human. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, whether she should have, quote-unquote, been Christian-like or not, her humanity, her heart was broken. So that's why I was laughing when you were like, you know, easing her broken, her little achy heart. Because that's serious. These kids can hurt you. And I'm a mother of two adult kids. These kids can hurt you to your core. And no, I may not be able to bounce back as quickly as somebody else thinks that I should. To bounce back, because now he not showing up. I'm supposed to just bounce back? I don't know. I don't know if I could have done that either. So I'm not even going to speak for her on that wise. But what I do know is that it wouldn't have been an option for me from the very beginning.
Okay. Thank you. Lady Tamika, what you got?
I look at this thing because, you know, a lot of when you're talking about youth, you know, you're talking about the most celebratory times for the youth is prom, graduation, and then as they get older, marriage, children, you know, those type of things. And when you think about it, you may not always be guaranteed those things that happen afterwards. You know, prom, you. Nowadays, because of everything that's going on, it's doing different rules. You know, you may not get prom. You know, graduation, you know, hey, that's one big celebratory thing that, you know, and I get it. You know, I understand that mom was extremely hurt by the fact that you overlooked me and I've been there, you know, and you asked your father. As a daddy's girl, if we can go all the way back, you know, when we first started with this women's section, you know, yeah. I verbalize that I'm a daddy's
segment.
Girl.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, true and blue, I'm a daddy's girl. But I love my mama as well. However, you want dad to be there because that's that one thing, you know, and I can't see me personally hurting my mother. I honestly can't. You know, most of the time they give you at least two tickets. One can sit in the front, one can sit in the back, you know, or, you know, find a seat, you know, and you know, hey, save this one up here, you know, just so that they're not together. You know, the other thing that you could have done was have mom come and videotape it. You know, now there's so many different venues, you know. But, you know, the fact that you did it, you said, mom, you can't come, you know, and then at the end you text mom, which I know had to be a hurting thing. Oh, now you want me to come, you know. But I think it had to be a bigger thing for mom to say, okay, you know what, this is the one time that I'm going to be there, because I can't guarantee that mom's going to have a child. I can't guarantee that my child's going to have a child. I can't guarantee that my daughter's going to get married. This is the one celebratory time that I have, you know, and this is one thing, you know, to be there. You wanted to be there to begin with, so why not do so, you know? And that adds an extra healing, you know. It also comes affirms, you know, the daddy's still not coming through, you know. And the sad part about it is in situations where the daughter is always being the bottom of the barrel, you know, this also affirms, look, this is one great big celebratory, and dad didn't come again, you know. And so I think that, you know, although it's a very hard move, you know, throughout lives, you know, and I'm not excusing it, you know, parents get hurt, you know, they get wounded, you know, through from the very beginning up until adulthood, you know, and even afterwards, you know, your child is adult and they still hurt you. You know, unfortunately, these are things that happen in life, you know, real true life. It happens.
All right. Thank you. Sean Teach, we've taken a poll. What has the poll produced?
So we have
99% of the people say that the daughter was the bigger wrong.
Okay. What were some of the reasons?
Okay. So we have a comment sent in that says the daughter was wrong to tell her mother not to come. The mother was wrong for agreeing not to come. Like, who's paying for the graduation if the dad keeps ghosting her? The daughter's little feelings would have been hurt because if it was me, I'm going. But ultimately, the daughter, I would have gone before and after he decided not to come. Even if the mom was testing the dad to see if he would follow through by saying she would not come, I wouldn't let her go to the graduation alone, even though the daughter is young, naive, and dumb.
And all right.
Another comment reads, both were wrong. The daughter shouldn't have told her not to come. Also, mom was wrong. I think she could have understood the daughter wanting her father and knowing he would have disappointed her again. She should have been there. She's still a kid and needs her mother and to show her a bigger example.
Okay.
We have two more comments. I'm sorry. The daughter was the bigger wrong. The mom was petty, but the daughter made her choice and has to live with her choice. Then another comment reads, the daughter is the bigger wrong for asking her mom not to go, even though the mother begs her to allow her to come. She still refuses. I'm sorry, even though the daughter begs her afterwards, the mom still refuses. Instead, she says she's going to keep to her plan and she won't cancel. And there's consequences for the daughter's decision.
All righty. Thank you so much, listeners, for weighing in on this one. Thank you, ladies, for commenting on this. And I want to push through to my Faith Over Fear segment a little earlier because I'm going to give my take on this whole thing afterwards. But I'm going to open it up now to Pastor Charlotte so she can give, you know, what she feels as a mom and then give her Faith Over Fear segment. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. How are you today, my love?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing okay, getting better day by day. Thank the Lord.
Well, thank God for you being able to be with us today after your illness on Monday. So who do you think is the bigger wrong and why?
The daughter. I am being a mom and living that situation with my children, my son when he graduated, and dealing with that me and the father were not on good terms. High school nor college. You would never tell me I'm not coming. My feelings is that I was the one that was there. I was the one through the nights helping, spend all my money, and he was not there. How many times have he had said to my children that he was coming and didn't show up? So my thing was where you could, the room is so big. So therefore, if he comes, he can sit, and that's what we did. We separated. So we don't have to sit together because the child is not sitting with you anyway. So it's not like we have to sit as a family. So the child is wrong. And my thing was, I've always said that you reap what you sow. So when that child had that baby, them kids, you know, become us in some parts of our life. And how would you feel if it was you? So I say that the child was wrong. The mother has feelings. I get that, you know, we want to do the forgiveness, but some things have been stabbed in us where that it takes some time. I'm like Elder Natisha. It takes some time for you to get over when your child has hurt you. you know, in different areas. So for you to say that they can't come, no, I would have a problem with that. Your fear would have been me when you told me that I wasn't coming. So that would have been your fear, you know, but on the Lord, but, you know, I just think that we have to be careful, you know, where we have, we're trusting God and we believe in our children will do the right thing because of their growing up, of teaching them. But hurt people do hurt people. When you don't know and you don't know how to teach, that's what happens. You know, sometimes these children nowadays that they will take and you can teach them and they run off because they have somebody else in their ear. And that's the fearful side, because you're allowing the enemy to come into your ear and not being able to have you do the right thing and not accepting of someone else's feelings of how she should felt. Those are the things that you should have. When you know that, as they said, being ghosts, he hasn't been there before. What makes you think, even though with the hope, you will hope, we hope a lot of things, but sometimes our feelings will get hurt. So you should never do that to her. You know, and that was my point of that, of no, you can't tell me that. I'm sorry. I was feeling that when y'all was talking about it, because I lived that. When they tried to tell me that I couldn't come to some things, I'm coming. Did I answer your question? I'm sorry. I was.
No, you did, and you gave me my faith over fear. No, you killed two birds with one stone. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor Sean. I know a lot of times we don't give you an opportunity to weigh in on any of these things, but I really did think that you wanted to comment, and not realizing that you had lived it. So thank you so much for your transparency today, and thank you for your faith over fear today. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You all do the same.
Ladies,
bless you.
Thank you. Ladies, thank you so much for weighing in on these topics, and all of you, including Pastor Charlene, has given us a lot of food for thought, and we pray that you too have a blessed day. All righty. Let me give the benediction for this morning. We're going to go back to the early ones. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That's Numbers 6:22. All righty. Well, let's see what's going on here. All right. So, you know, as for when Vivian actually told the story, I had some things fluttering through my head. And she said something that really kind of pulled something into my immediate thoughts. And I'll come back to that one. But I'm going to tell you a quick story. To Major, the one I always talk about with the anger issue, we were standing in line for her junior high school graduation. And you know how we are, and especially me, I love pictures. So I was like, okay, come on to Miss Major, let's take pictures. And she kind of snapped at me one time, and I ignored that one. And then she, you know, I left alone for a little bit, and then I came back, okay, come on, let's take pictures. And she snapped at me again, and she hurt my feelings. She hurt my feelings. And Shantice and Shawnice were both there. All of us got dressed and we were going to the graduation. And Shantice left. She left. She didn't like the treatment. She didn't like the way Tamaja was behaving, and she walked off. And she went back home. I stayed. You know, I took the higher road and I stayed. And I remember standing on the line crying. And now to her, the issue with her is, you know, she's one of those, wise, you know, I don't have no attitude, and you got royal attitude. I didn't say that for this, but you said that for this.
But at the end of the day, she hurt my feelings. So we went, the graduation went on, and I remember she was one of the best dancers in the class of whatever this year is. And they had asked her to do a solo. And I guess, you know, one of the special things that was done during the graduation was a solo by a senior, graduating senior. So she, I remember her, you know, her godmother was there. And she was like, what's the matter? And I told her what happened. And when it was time for Tamaja to do the solo, I didn't tape it. Now, anybody knows me, knows I would have been front. I said right there, I said, I could care less what she does right now. It don't matter to me that I have this memory on fire. It just didn't matter to me. I just did not care. I was like, let her keep it in her head. You know, you could see for her, she would have wanted the photo op for that particular thing, but she wants it the way she wants it. I was like, I'm not doing it. So Raina actually recorded it. And that still hurts me till today. That hurts me till today. The way she behaved, the way she spoke to me. She's graduated from high school, and she was much more humble at that point. You know, but you know, who cares? It is what it is, and you hurt me, and I've forgiven her, but I still feel that hurt even when I speak to you all now. It bothers me. And over the years, you know, she lost her father. She was 11 years old. He got sick, stayed sick for 10, 11 years. So he really wasn't a big part of her life. And for the part of the life that he was, if he was ill, couldn't really communicate and talk well. But she did spend time with him, so forth and so on. And as the years have gone on since we've had this church here in Jamaica where there's a lot of young people, she's been a little more expressive, and she said stuff like, I miss my dad, and I wish he were here, and blah, blah, blah. A couple of little other remarks she's made. But finally one day I looked at her and said, what does that say for who I am and what I've done? And I'm not a jealous person, but I needed her to understand that you cannot be dismissive. And she, because she had, it was some snide remark, like, or if my father was here, something like that. And again, another jab that I didn't appreciate. As a mother, as a hardworking mother, as a mother who I have always said she's gotten a lot more than her sisters ever got. And there may have been, again, from the gap. You know, I had the two of them. And by the time she came along, you know, things were a little different financially, blah, 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 blah. And I was just a different person, and she got... And she had a different type of demand. And I had to say to her, you know, okay, yeah, okay, that was nice, but do you realize that you're insulting to me? Think about that. You can't just say what you feel and think that it has no impact. And again, it wasn't coming from a jealous place, but I'm trying to teach her also. Because my mother had that issue. You know, she didn't just say what she said. And like, I ain't mean no harm. And I'm like, but you can't just say things. You've got to think about how other people feel when you say those things. So I'm trying to teach her as well. So here we are today discussing, you know, this between mom or dad. And I didn't, you know, I'm listening and I'm like, okay, I wonder if anybody feels what I feel. Elder Natisha and Pastor Charlotte hit it on the head. First of all, I blame the mother. She has a big role. Because first of all, you couldn't have ever fix your mouth and been able to make me understand why it was either him or me. The first thing I thought about was something that Lady Tamika said, well, since when they only give one invitation, one ticket, you mean to tell me that even if they only gave two tickets in this whole auditorium, we can't make this work? Well, guess what? You about to find out. Because if you ever think that you could, that you would have the liberty of choosing who, then think again. Because I don't care if it was non-dad showing up. I'll be there. If you don't even want me there, it's all right.
because I'm going to be there. Because just like the ladies have said, who put in this work? Who made sure this happened? You know what? I'm going to give it to your stupid child brain to not work this out in your head, that you're focusing truly on emotions right now. Somebody's been twisted up your brain and made you think that it was okay to come to me and say, I'd rather have. I have to choose because he said. Well, where was the he says when all of this, who put all of this together for you to even be able to graduate? Where your clothes at? Who paid for senior dues, cap and gown, senior trip? Oh, yo, let's go down this lane. And I would still show up, just like I didn't walk off from the junior high school graduation. I deserve to be there. And you are going to pay the price with God. That's between you and the Lord. Because, see, I know he's going to hurt your feelings. Now, even if I kept that part to myself and I knew he was going to be a bum and he didn't show up, and, you know, because at one point I was like, well, you know what? She should have still gone because, you know, let her learn this hard lesson. But no, you were the bigger one at fault as a mom because you allowed her to believe that she could swap one for the other. Now, I want to address this little petty thing. I see Vivian's not on, but I hope she go back and listen. First of all, it's not up to you to tell me what's petty. I'm sorry. I went Elden Aisha. No. It's not. It's not a petty feeling. Mom was not being petty when I didn't. Somebody didn't came and said to me, and that's why I was making like a little snide remark, you know, to hurt my little bruised feelings, to ease my little heart, to find a way, because just like I believe she read, Vivian read, that, you know, they came to rescue her. You know, okay, well, she chose, come on, let's go out. I'm going to help you feel better this day so, you know, you won't feel so bad. And now when she calls, I'm petty because I won't show up? Oh, no, I don't think so. You are... Just like these moms have said, when a child bruises you, it's a different bruise. When a child, but somebody, you put everything you got into them, and they feel like they can say and do whatever they want to do, oh, that's a different kind of hurt. Pastor Charlene has been on here, and she's talked about her domestic abuse and domestic violence. I've been on here and I've spoken about domestic abuse and violence. Elder Natisha has been open about her domestic abuse, but I got to promise you, ain't no hurt like a child hurt. No hurt like a child, especially if they're coming into the adult years and they're feeling themselves and they didn't forgot who helped to get them there. No, there's nothing petty about her feelings. There's nothing petty about her decision, because I'm going to tell you something, and I would venture to say for all the moms here, it wasn't easy for her to say no. For her to say, oh, no, I'm not. That wasn't a petty decision. That wasn't light for her to say no. For her to say no would have meant that, you know what, I'm going to stand my ground today, and even if it means that I've worked all year, all 4 years, all 12 years, all through your 17, 18 years of life to watch you walk across that aisle. And I got to say no to stand my ground to let you know that you can't pull strings and do as you wish you want to do. And then you going to let me come back when you feel you want me to come back. Even if I have to risk trying to prove a point and I don't watch you walk across that aisle, there's nothing petty about that decision. It hurt her. And that's what she was responding to. That's how she responded to that hurt and that pain. And if y'all think that as adult children that you don't hurt your parents, think again. I don't care whether you're 30, whether you're 40, you hurt your parents because you will always be their child. And I don't mean a child. You'll always be their child. And it seems like when we get to be a certain age, we kind of lose it a little bit. We really lose it. And if you think that decisions that are made
You know, sometimes you have to make very hard decisions as a mother. It's not easy, whether dad's around or not, whether the child is asking you to make decisions or not. It's not easy. It's not easy being a mother. Because let me tell you something. Even when there's a two-parent family, mom takes blows the way dad will never take blows. You know, they always pass around this email or this text that says, you know, when dad says goodnight, dad goes to bed. He pulls the covers up and he goes to sleep. When mom says goodnight, what is mom doing before mom actually gets in that bed? Is she cleaning dishes? Is she washing clothes? Is she sweeping the floor? Is she mopping? Is she doing this? Is she doing that? Is she checking homework? Is she, you know, making sure you got lunch for tomorrow? Does she have to run back out to the store and make sure you have milk? Because dad didn't went to bed. She can't send him out. So now she got to run to the store to go get you milk to make sure you got all bread for your sandwich. Or what about that trip that you got coming up tomorrow? And she realized, oh, my goodness, they like chips and I forgot the chips. And now I got to make sure they got, oh, wait a minute, ain't nothing. Nothing easy about being a mom. Nothing. And I take exception to this story. It was nasty. It was insensitive. And it was mean. And I don't care what y'all put on it. I'm telling you what I put on it. I don't care how much your heart was for your dad, for you to ever dismiss your mother because your heart is yearning for your dad so much that you lose it and you forget mom was here, and you ain't got enough to tell dad. Well, you know what? I can't even imagine telling my mom that she can't come. So you're also letting him know that he can manipulate you again so that you're even choosing between him and your mother. My mother was at almost everything. From the time I was in the sixth grade, my mother was at everything, even up until this is due time. Ernie was on every single day until she got sick and she could not get to the phone or dial the phone every day. And that was only weeks from the time she passed away. Weeks. My mother from the sixth grade, and I'm 55. My father could never. He said, oh, Steph, I want to go somewhere. I want to be there. And I'm going to look at Ernie and say, what? Oh, you know, you've been to everything, Ernie. You know, he wants to come. He wants to. Well, outside of being afraid of getting cussed out, that wouldn't even be a consideration. And I'm not saying this because I'm an adult. Well, you know, you're an adult, Steph, and that was a thing. No, I'm not. I'm not. But again, I'm looking at it from the eyes of a young parent. I'm looking at it from a child. I'm looking at it from the eyes of all the different angles of the way this could come. And I think we need to, you know, consider, like Elder Natisha said, like Pastor Charlene said, you know, she was hurt. She was hurt. And, you know, we have to think about these things. And you know, we get these stories so we can learn lessons. I just said this yesterday, you know, God has opened up the door to stories, news, you know, so we can see how, you know, the non-believers can do things and the believers should do things. And I would love to know that this particular story allowed us to learn multiple lessons here. And I can't tell you what lesson it should necessarily be that you learn. But, excuse me, again, you know, whether you want to go from the angle of hurt people, whether you want to go from the angle of, you know, mom was hurt, whether you want to go from the angle of the daughter was insensitive or she didn't consider or, you know, in her of having dad there that she, you know, went in this direction. Whichever angle you want to come from, my prayer is that, you know, God speaks to you in your own life, in your own thoughts, in your own decision-making, that we need to broaden. You know, when we are given decisions to make, that we, you know, seek God on making your decisions, because we can make a very poor one like this one. You know, she made a decision to choose dad over mom, and it came back to bite her.
you know. And do you feel sorry for her? Absolutely, because you want to know that, you know, she didn't mean mom any harm, quote unquote, but she put her eggs into the wrong basket, and she was disappointed. And, you know, now you didn't run the risk of not having anybody in your corner during the time when you would have really wanted to have somebody and needed to have someone in your corner. You know, I want to close and say that, you know, I was talking to Pastor KL, and we were talking about his son losing his mom so brutishly. And he graduates this year, graduates from high school. And, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, he's going to walk across that stage. And even if Pastor KL is there, his mom isn't. His mom won't be there. And this wasn't optional for him. He didn't go and say to his mom, you know, it's either you or dad. This, he had no choice. And I think that's one of the things we need to think about. You know, make wise decisions, because there are other times, and there's times in our life where we won't have an option. We won't have an opportunity to make the decision. The decision will be made for us. We will have to live with whatever has happened. And in this particular case, here's a young man that will look out in that audience or sit in that seat with his cap and gown on and know that the mom who helped to get him here won't be. So you have nine dads in the auditorium, grandma, aunties, uncles, but he won't have mom. And it had nothing to do with what he did or how he lived his life or whatever it was that, you know, caused, he had no control over. So let's go forward making decisions and understand that we have wise counsel. We have a God and a Jesus and a Holy Spirit to help get us to where we need to be. Utilize it. Don't make decisions on your own. Don't try to wing this thing by yourself, because sometimes we make decisions and we try to make these decisions on our own, and we end up just like this young lady. We ain't got nothing at the end of the day. Nothing. But a bunch of people sitting back looking around talking about what we should have, could have, and what they would have done. We don't have that ability to do it all over again. You got one shot at a lot of things. And if we don't do that thing right, we won't have a second chance at it. She won't have two high school graduations where she would say, well, you know, had I thought about it, mom would have been there from the beginning. Nah, no mom nor her got to experience this graduation the way she would have ultimately wanted it. That's the same way we live our Christian lives. Doing things and making decisions and not thinking of the ultimate outcome. Doing that either or, that we end up paying a price for that either or, opposed to going to God and saying, God, listen, hey, I got a dilemma, but I know it's not a dilemma for you. I don't know what to do, but I know you know what to do. Try God. Try him today the way you've tried him like no other time. Give him the opportunity to set you straight. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my ladies of Due Time for giving it to us hard and heavy today. Thank you for participating in the conversation and helping us know how you feel and what you think. Please don't miss this opportunity to give God your life right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life with therapy. Shooting Thursday. I love you.
Mm-hmm.